critically analyzing national affairs. This is State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McClain on today's News Talk. TNT.
Today's News Talk TNT. I'm Brian McClain, broadcasting live out of Central Texas. I'm here with Timothy Shea, broadcasting live out of Central New York. Timothy, it's great to see you today.
Great to see you, Hash. How's everything?
Well, it's a beautiful day outside as long as you don't peer in the windows of the Senate. The Senate has passed a $95 billion aid bill for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, and saying they're going to force the sale of TikTok, which I'm still trying to understand. I feel like there's a shell game being played here with TikTok, and I really wonder what the ultimate ends to this whole factor inside of this is. We know what the rest of that money is going for, but the TikTok thing really has me a little bit, has some eyebrows raised.
Well, I've been seeing all over conservative social media that this is a full frontal assault on our ability to talk to each other.
Yeah, that's a big concern right there, you know, and it's such a hybrid set of concerns, you know, because there's that, there's the freedom of information, the developing of online cliques or echo chambers or research collectives or, you know, news gathering and sharing. These things are very important to a lot of people, and a lot of people are finding that they're able to do that on TikTok. But the evil other side of it is the odious way in which it attacks young girls in particular. Just reading a case about a young girl that committed suicide. Her parents couldn't figure out why until they spent 2 years looking at her TikTok, and her algorithm didn't change over those 2 years. And they discovered that she had a constant flood of dark, depressive, suicidal information pumping her way from that TikTok algorithm. So it's a very complex and nuanced sort of opportunity for information and threat vector for attack from a foreign algorithm.
It is indeed. We know that the algorithm works differently in China as it does here in the United States. They don't have any of these stupid TikTok challenges like, you know, eating a teaspoonful of cinnamon, which has gotten young people killed for doing. They ban that in China. They ban that kind of content, and they promote content like physics experiments, chemistry experiments, music performances, dance performances, cultural enrichment. Okay, so there's that aspect of it. But also, you know, let's go up to 50,000 feet for a second where we like to hang out. And how come they're so exercised about TikTok, but they don't care that Chinese have logged into our election system, which has now been proven? They don't care that China is infiltrating our infrastructure, our electrical infrastructure. And indeed, as Nebraska State Senator Brian Hardin pointed out, actively working to put sites close to strategic sites like Minuteman III missile silos, like internet trunk lines, like Air Force runways. How come they're so worried about TikTok, but they're not worried about any of the other Chinese incursions?
Right, exactly. And not much mention, we've heard some mention, but not much mention of the similarities of the way that Instagram works for young people. Yep. And the same, and the way Instagram cuts people out of misinformation circles, if you will, using my air quotes there if you're listening just to the audio stream. But yes, it's a huge problem, and they clearly want us focused on, you know, the Chinese bobble in the corner and not looking at the 800-pound gorilla of American tech in the other corner.
Indeed.
Yes. Also, real quickly, let's see here. This one just came out of the House Committee on Homeland Security. Did you know that that committee found that illegal aliens are costing us an estimated $451 billion per year? So interesting to see the House Committee on Homeland Security's own stats there with such an outrageous number, Timothy.
Yeah, imagine that. And we're not alone. We're going to be talking in the second hour with someone who's going to report on what's going on in the United Kingdom. They're experiencing the same exact thing, Brian. I do have one quick question. In the Senate today, did they wave flags?
I did not peek into the odious Senate room, but I'm sure that there was plenty of blue and yellow in there.
No doubt. Pocket squares and ties at the least.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, don't miss out on a thing. Be sure and download our fantastic TNT app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily watch or listen or chat with us live anytime, anywhere. That's available to download. You can use it in your car, Bluetooth it to your stereo or your earbuds. Don't wear those earbuds too long, though, if they're Bluetooth. Switch out. And we'll keep you up to speed on today's News Talk, TNT.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So this is going to be fun. Joe Biden falls apart during DC speech, reads the teleprompter instructions to include things like pause. And then there was this one, just give him a straight left. Unhinged, angry Joe Biden says he would punch President Trump if he had the opportunity. My goodness. Joining us now to discuss is online opinion editor, commentary writer, and host of the Bold and Blunt podcast for the Washington Times, our friend Cheryl Chumley. Cheryl, the Biden circus is always in town, and this week we've got him reading teleprompters poorly. And then on an open mic talking about punching President Trump. Have you ever heard one president discuss punching another president before?
I haven't. So this is all new to me. But really, this is just something that we've seen under Joe Biden for some time now, right? His mental decline isn't just fodder for humor for us to talk about, right? It's really at the point where it's a national security risk, because we're not the only ones who see Joe Biden's mental decline. Russia sees it. North Korea sees it. Iran certainly sees it. And our allies in Israel see it too. And it sort of creates this narrative around the world that the White House under this president is weak. And that opens the doors, as you and I have discussed before, as a matter of fact, for all types of hostile actions to take place, which we are seeing now.
Cheryl, I took care of my uncle before he passed from vascular dementia. It was not Alzheimer's, but it was a form of dementia. And I'm seeing a lot of the same signs in Joe that I saw in my uncle. For one thing, he is and has always been a legend in his own mind. I'm thinking back now to the corn pop story, how he fended off the dreaded corn pop with a chain, right? Joe either, I think, was horribly bullied as a boy and is overcompensating, or he himself was the bully, because I've never heard any president talking about not only punching another president, but calling a voter fat and telling him he'll meet him out by the bleachers. I mean, this isn't a one-off. This is a continuing pattern with this guy.
Yeah, and we just saw, what was it, a week ago, the whole Uncle Bozy with the cannibalism story, which is still baffling, and I'm not sure anybody really knows what he was trying to get at. But look, it's one thing for this president to be a feckless and a puppet, right? We've all come to see that. But what is still a little bit surprising to me is how many on the left are willing to embrace him and embolden his puppetry. First off, you have Jill Biden, right? His own spouse that sort of floats out there that there's nothing to see here, folks. Go home, vote for Joe. He's doing great. And then on the other hand, though, you see Joe Biden shake the hands of dead people or ghosts and stumble off the stage and so forth. So you know that's a lie. And at this most recent speech, what he did was he basically, you know, stumbled and bungled his way through the speech, but to great cheers and applause. It reminded me a little bit of those who know George Orwell, Animal Farm, how the sheep would start bleeding, right? The crowd started yelling, four more years to sort of cover for his mishaps. And to me, that's all the more shocking that the Democrat Party actually wants to run this man again.
Yeah, they just rally around it. I mean, what he said was, he said 4 more years, and then he goes, pause, quote unquote, 4 more years, pause. You know, it's just like, oh, that is not for you to read, Mr. President. But of course, the crowd erupts, four more years, four more. It's like, what is he going to look like by the time he's 86 years old? I mean, if we have another presidency run here, I mean, a lot of people are concerned right now that Kamala Harris would end up in the seat because Joe just doesn't look like he would make it.
He doesn't, but really, he's looked that way for a very long time, right? I mean, if you go back to his first campaign days, the only reason he got by with staying in the presidential race is because of COVID gave him cause to stay in his basement and sort of campaign from his basement with friendly television cameras and his wife alongside to sort of prod him when he stumbled. And it's only gotten worse from there. And the fact that this Democrat Party still wants him tells me that he's not the one running the White House, right? That's just common sense. They want him because they're able to push through their far left globalist agenda, and Joe Biden cannot put up a fight with it. He's sort of the face that does their bidding.
You're absolutely right. And it was the same Democrat Party that forced Joe to end his campaign in 1988. When his habitual lies got too much for them to even cover. When you lose Sam Donaldson and the rest of the mainstream media, it's time to go, Joe. And the weight of all of his lies, it wasn't just stealing Neil Kinnock's stump speech, which was stealing Neil Kinnock's life story. It was the lies about finishing at the top of his law school class when he finished at the bottom, being on full scholarship when he had a student loan, graduating from an HBCU when he didn't. Just, it was lie after lie after lie. And in 1988, it became too much for the Democrat Party. But now, you're absolutely right, they find him to be a useful figurehead. But he's an awfully old 80. I mean, I'm an exceptionally young 62, but he is a profoundly old 82.
He is, and it's only going to get worse from here, right? Like once you have mental issues such as Joe seems to be facing, it's not like you spring back from them. It's not like eating, you know, a healthy meal will sort of, you know, bring him back into sanity land and so forth. And, you know, it's an interesting point that you raise that back in the late 80s, right, he was sort of forced out of the political realm, his political pursuits, because even leftists in the media realized that his lies were just something that could not be overcome. Just look at how far we've come, both in the media and as a society, as a culture, in just a few short years, that now the media covers for Joe Biden regularly. And if you point out his gaffes, which really aren't gaffes, they're mental issues, if you point them out, you're the one that gets criticized in the media. The media constantly carries water for Joe Biden, and it just shows the sad decline of America, at least from the moral perspective.
Yeah, he has a long-standing record of lying. It's kind of fun these days because a lot of people have made mashups that you can find. For example, I'll give a shout out to Anomaly on IG. He posted a post that, you know, showed video footage of Biden having a debate with Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders called him out and said, "Well, you were down there saying that you wanted to stop all Social Security, all Medicare, you know, all these things, you know, in their tracks, no money." And Biden just stood there and said, No, I didn't. And of course, Anomaly pulls the footage up. There it is. You can hear that fiery, you know, Senator Joe Biden saying these things verbatim, just like Bernie said.
It's infuriating how many lies this president is allowed to get by with because of the cover from the left, right? And really, the bigger question here is, because I don't think he's going to be replaced when it comes time to voting for 2024. I don't think the Democrats are going to pull some magic leader out of their hat to replace Joe Biden. So the question has to be asked, if he were to run, which he is, and if he were to win, where does that leave America? Four more years, right, under him. We won't have an America very long with four more years of Joe Biden as president, because it's just the globalist agenda that will steamroll through.
You're absolutely correct. And it's going to be steamrolled by the exact people that are running his administration, because he clearly is not.
Yes, agreed. And who knows two is, right? Like, we all whisper about Barack Obama's third term because Barack Obama himself. Yeah, Barack Obama himself made that quip that he would like to run a third term in the White House, but from behind the scenes. So perhaps he is. It's not like we have people who are covering Barack Obama's every move, but it certainly is the Barack Obama type agenda, at the very least, that's being pushed through. And it's going through with great success because there's no accountability. Joe Biden is not accountable to the people for whatever actions his, you know, his minions are pushing through.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly. I mean, that is becoming more and more clear, more and more of a mainstream political talking point, at least around dinner tables and water coolers. That much is for certain. Cheryl, we're almost out of time, but if you don't mind extending for a minute or two here, do you have any thoughts on D.A. Bragg's case going on here, the hush money case? You know, our friend Joe Hoft has penned a piece up here at Gateway Pundit, saying that Trump attorneys must move to dismiss now. It does look like this case is falling apart a little bit. Do you have any brief thoughts on that before we have to let you go?
I do think the case was falling apart before it was even brought to court. And the reason why is because the poll numbers show that Donald Trump, every day he's in court, his poll numbers continue to beat Joe Biden's. It's just at the point in this country where I think most Americans see that Donald Trump is being attacked unfairly by the left and by an activist court and judicial system. And they don't care what comes of this case.
Yeah, I think so. My goodness, we've spoken to a lot of great minds about this case over the last few weeks, yours included, and that seems to be the consensus. This is an absurdity. This is theater of the absurd. Okay, check out the Bold and Blunt podcast and pick up your copy of Lockdown, the Socialist Plan to Take Away Your Freedom. If you haven't read it yet, you really should, because the WHO pandemic accord is marching onward and whispers of bird flu are abound. So it's time to pick up that book if you haven't. Cheryl, thank you so much. Any final words before we have to let you go?
Oh, God bless, and please don't vote for Joe Biden this November.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Truer words have never been spoken. Thanks, Cheryl Chumley. We'll see you again real soon here on State of the Nation. This is today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission. The Net Zero Con will leave millions of citizens dependent on state handouts.
It isn't a theory.
It's an agenda. There is no climate emergency. On air 24/7, this is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We're all well aware of the attempts to keep Donald Trump off the ballot in many states and out of the Oval Office, but Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is having to fight the same battles. LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman and SV Angel founder and managing partner Ronald Conway have bankrolled the Clear Choice PAC, which is actively working to keep Bobby off the ballot in states like Michigan, where he secured the nomination of the Natural Law Party. Clear Choice PAC was founded by former Biden deputy campaign manager Pete Kavanaugh, who has said that, quote, everything is on the table, end quote, to keep independent and third-party candidates off the ballot. and Clear Choice isn't alone. Other leftist groups like Third Way, American Bridge, Move On, Citizens to Save Our Republic, and End Citizens United are organizing similar campaigns against Kennedy and others to keep them off the ballot this November. Here to discuss is criminal justice advocate and advisor to the RFK Jr. campaign, Angela Stanton King. Angela, welcome to State of the Nation.
Hey, Timothy, I am so glad to be on your show today. I actually love the work that you guys do over here at TNT with keeping the people informed. So it's an honor to be here today.
Well, it's an honor to have you. So it just mystifies me that the party that claims to be Democratic seems to want anything but democracy.
Well, we know that that's true because we've saw what we've gone through in the last 4 years with President Donald Trump. We see what's happening in our nation with censorship, which is one of the reasons why we're so grateful for TNT opening up the airways so that we can talk about things that need to be talked about without being censored. But who's surprised, right? This has been going on since about 2016 and it hasn't gotten any better. It seems to be getting worse. Donald Trump is facing a slew of charges, and I don't think he's done anything wrong other than legally operate as the president of the United States. So if they do all of this to Trump, what makes us think they won't do it to someone else?
Right. You, me, you watching, all of us. I mean, it's becoming very clear that messages are being sent here. There's an intended chilling effect on free speech, on actual democracy or functionality of a constitutional republic, if one prefers. I do, you know. But when Timothy lists a group, a set of well-funded NGOs and political PACs like that, I mean, that really is a lot to go up against. I mean, how difficult is it for RFK Jr.'s team to work against that kind of, you know, well-funded opposition?
You know, the wonderful thing about working for RFK is that he's an attorney, right? And he's a very accomplished attorney. So every time they throw us a wrecking ball, we swerve right around it and we just keep on going. RFK has a team of people behind him that are determined. Everybody knows Angela Stanton King. I'm a fighter. I'm on his team. Everyone that's on his team is people that believes in his campaign, and we are refusing to give up. Just like Trump, we're fighting for America. We're fighting for this country. We refuse to be swayed and we refuse to be silent, and we're going to keep going until we can.
Yeah, toward your point, Brian, I note with irony that End Citizens United is one of those groups, and they're actually exercising their First Amendment rights that were protected by the Citizens United case. And here they are calling themselves End Citizens United. Now, Angela, Brian and I and others at TNT were privileged last summer to hear Bobby talk at Freedom Fest in Memphis. And he comes across as unbelievably pragmatic, grounded, rational. We need more candidates like him. Now, there are policy preference differences I have with him, but he reminds me of my cousins that ran the Democrat Party here in Syracuse, New York. And old school Democrat that you could do yes. business with, that looked at issues, that cared about America, that were patriots. Yes. And for the Biden administration to deny him Secret Service protection, not once, but five times, it's almost as if they want something bad to happen to him, which would be an absolute tragedy.
It seems as if they do, if you know the history of the Kennedy family as well as the history of the King family. So we're definitely up against a lot of opposition. And it's really, truly unfortunate that America, which is supposed to be the land of the free, that we are fighting so hard just for American citizens to have a third option. Who it ever said that we only had to have two options for a presidential candidate? And for me, I've been fortunate enough to work with President Donald Trump and also work with Bobby. And I can tell you, I love them both. But Bobby is a more down to earth. He's very humble. He's approachable. but he also listens, right? And I love Trump, but Trump isn't going to do too much listening, right? Trump is more so about telling you, hey, this is what we're doing and this is what it is. And I support him because he's not doing anything wrong. But Bobby allows all of us to come to the table, even when we don't agree. Just like you said, hey, there are some policy things that I don't necessarily agree with. But that's why Bobby has people like me on his campaign, because he's willing to listen. He wants to know what is at the heart of the American people and how can we all come together, regardless if we're Democrat, regardless if we're Republican, Libertarian. It's time for us to stop the fighting, come together and figure out solutions that work for everyone. Because guess what? There are no two people that agree. You probably can't even find identical twins that agree on everything. So if we're really serious about moving our country forward, then politics is always supposed to be bipartisan. We're not supposed to operate in partisan politics. What Bobby Kennedy has right now is what I like to refer to as a unity ticket. And I get to work with people every single day, all across the aisle. And guess what? I'm not canceled. I'm not hated. And we're able to come up with solutions that work for everyone, not just one person or one particular party. And that's what America is all about.
It is. That's the way politics should work. It was no less a leading light than George Washington himself, who warned us in his farewell address against factionalism, and we've fallen into it anyway. But you're involved in something new and exciting, and we're going to talk all about it right after these headlines from Today's News Talk, TNT.
And action. The news.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has announced plans for significant increases in national defense spending, aiming to reach 87 billion euros annually by 2030. During the second day of Passover, a large group of anti-Israel protesters convened outside Senator Chuck Schumer's home in Brooklyn to demand the United States ceases military support for Israel. Nigel Farage predicted the UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak might call for an early general election in late June or early July.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on Today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Angela, I first noticed you for your work with criminal justice reform, and you've got a great new project now and a new website, New Dawn for Justice. Tell us all about the New Dawn for Justice and the criminal justice reform tour that's kicking off this summer.
Oh, yeah, this tour is absolutely awesome. We are bringing all of the voices of the reform community together, and we're all advocating for change for our criminal justice system. And you know who someone I think will support this? Trump, because who's been done wrong more than President Donald Trump? I said, if he happens to get in, I can imagine what he's going to do with the Second Step Act and everything in regards to criminal justice reform now that he has experienced this corrupt justice system. But, you know, our criminal justice reform tour isn't about defunding the police. It's not about letting violent offenders out of jail. It's about those nonviolent offenders, the ones that have gotten life sentences for marijuana, the ones that are still serving time for marijuana. We're talking about men that have been in prison, men and women, for 10 and 20 years and then being released back out into society and given a $25 check and saying, go ahead and get started. We're going to be talking about preventative measures, right? What can we do to reform our system? What can we do to make community policing better? And so I'm bringing together some of the greatest criminal justice reform advocates across this nation, and also our selected VP, Nicole Shanahan, who we know has been a very big voice in criminal justice reform. And Bobby Kennedy is going to be joining us on the tour, too. So our first stop is at the Martin Luther King Center here in Atlanta, Georgia on May 4th. And then we're headed over to Houston, Texas. We're going to be going to Detroit, Chicago. We're taking steps all over and we're bringing people together for a much needed initiative that addresses some very important issues that we're all impacted by in America.
Yeah, that's really heartening to hear. You know, I found it I found it a little disturbing when President Biden put out that federal pardon for people that had been arrested and imprisoned for nonviolent marijuana crimes, but nothing to the states. All those, think about all the people that Kamala Harris put in jail and Joe Biden by policy in California, rotting there all these years later, many of them nonviolent, stuck in Khan College, and it is just so infuriating.
Brian, you know, the thing about that Biden put out is it really impacts no one. It's for simple marijuana charges. No one is serving time in federal prison for a simple marijuana charge. It's just not realistic. So if we go back and look at the records, we'll see nobody is being released from federal prison because nobody is serving time in federal prison for a simple marijuana charge. What Joe Biden did, these are maybe people from the 70s or 80s that may have gotten caught somewhere smoking a joint. These are simple marijuana charges. And we know when the feds come and get you, it's big time. No one is serving time in federal prison for simple marijuana. So guess what? What he did was just hogwash. Nobody's getting released, and we still have to continue the fight.
Yeah, absolutely do, because this is the game he plays, right? I always keep an eye on the presidential pardons. You know, every month or so, I'll go in and see, you know, who's been pardoned, whose sentence has been commuted, etc. And I noticed, and it, coincidentally, Angela, it was right after this tour was announced, that all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of sentence commutations, but when you read them, their sentence hasn't been commuted. All he's done is he's taken a 25 to life sentence, and the person's already served 12 years. And so, okay, so they can get out in 2036 now, or they can get out in 2028 now. And all the other, the 10-year post-release probation is still in place. So he's going to go out on the campaign and said, I commuted the sentences of methamphetamine dealers, and act like Mr. Joe Justice Reform. And he practically hasn't done anything for these people.
He hasn't done anything other than incarcerate him. Let's not forget that 94 crime bill, okay? Right. The mass incarceration. Joe Biden is the one responsible for that. You know, he referred to us as super predators. And he said it didn't matter how we ended up the way that we ended up. The only thing that matters is that we don't come in contact with his children. So what President Donald Trump did with the First Step Act, that was actually the first step to overturning that 94 crime bill that was written by Joe Biden and signed into law by Bill Clinton. So we still have a lot of work to do. There are a lot of people behind the wall. And this is why I opened up my organization, because I wanted to make sure that we were hearing from the people that were directly impacted, not the people in the White House just giving out dog whistles. Reality is that we still have a bunch of people in prison serving life sentences for nonviolent crimes. And this is a country that we just saw on the brink of destruction because everybody was worried about family separation at the border, yet no one has considered the family separation in the border. If you are an American citizen and you get arrested, even if it's just for driving on a suspended license, you're going to get separated from your family. It is American law. So as Americans, we don't change the law at the border to accommodate them. We change the law in the border. So when they do cross over the border, they're impacted by the same laws that we're impacted by.
Yeah.
Amen. Exactly.
Yeah. Let's also not forget that they're no longer taking people to jail for any of these crimes anymore. It's like we've got people sitting in jails for a crime that is, you know, by policy, not a crime anymore. In fact, way lesser than many of the violent crimes that we see that have now been moved down to misdemeanors or not even charged.
That is so true. And I mean, it's just unfortunate that so many families have been separated and destroyed. And I mean, even if you let these guys out and they've been in for 10, 20 years, like, what are their chances of success, you know, being released into a society that's totally forgotten about them and moved on? And that's one of the reasons why I started this tour, because we need real rehabilitation in these prisons. Like, you see these guys all the time. They're made to work. Their money goes to the state. But why aren't we making them work to send money back home to take care of their families, right? Why aren't we making them work to save money so when they are released, that they have somewhere to go and that they're not sleeping on the streets and they're homeless? What we're seeing right now is illegal immigrants flowing in across the border without having to be verified, without having to take any COVID tests. And guess what? They're being put before American citizens. Our own fellow Americans are homeless, sleep on the side of the street saying, hey, we don't have jobs, we don't have a place to live, but for some reason, our government wants to continue to send billions and billions of dollars over to Ukraine. I just don't get it. Maybe you guys can tell me what's going on.
Well, I think we all know what's going on, Angela. We're going to have to leave it there, but want you to know that love your voice, love your spirit, love your fight. Go to newdawnforjustice.com. That's newdawn4justice.com for information about the tour and how you can get tickets. Angela, thanks so much. We can't wait to have you back. Keep us updated, will you?
Thanks so much. I'll be back soon. Love you guys.
Love you too. We've got more State of the Nation right here on today's News Talk TNT.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor, creating new visions. Now, my fingers are my eyes. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that means a lot to me. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's one in five daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Sometimes, a car comes along that changes everything. With innovations never thought possible, and features that make you wonder, how did people survive without this? This is that time, and this is that car. This is the world's first VWB. Equipped with transparent doors to eliminate reasonable suspicion, whatever that means. A 10-2 steering wheel that keeps hands visible at all times. We remove the glove box so there's no confusion about what the driver is reaching for. With the touch of a button, the ultrasonic biometric scanner displays the license and registration of the driver to ensure contactless exchange of information. With no trunk, nothing can be concealed, so therefore, there is nothing to search and seize. To ensure you'll never be mistaken for breaking the speed limit, we've installed limited edition airless tires. And we removed the engine because, honestly, why risk it? DWB, the first vehicle of its kind, where the safety feature is the car itself.
Critically analyzing national affairs. This is State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McClain on today's News Talk. TNT.
So, Timothy, I see that Reddit, it now wants people to give their identification to continue on to the platform and use it. And I got to say, I've always been pretty dubious of Reddit. I mean, I've been able to find some forums there. You know, you can really go down some rabbit holes there. I will admit, I've had a couple of fun rabbit hole dives over there, and I've learned a few things in the process. But I've also noticed that sort of pseudo 4chan effect that happens over there. A lot of sock puppet accounts, a lot of extremely divisive rhetoric and characters on there. And now I guess you have to show your ID to go on that platform. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm going to be giving my ID and going back to that platform.
No, and this isn't anything new. Facebook did this years ago, locked me out of an account and wanted me to show a driver's license in order to get back on. So I just changed accounts. It's been, you know, on the one hand, one of the things I love about the internet is anonymous accounts. On the other hand, one of the things I hate about the internet is anonymous accounts. So,
well, that's what makes it the magical fun land of the internet. And course, global governance wants to take that away. So overall, I consider it a hit, even though it was a platform that was already questionable.
I agree. And, you know, but it's the same reason we have these memes of, you know, photo of Abraham Lincoln saying, if you see it on the internet, it's absolutely true. Abraham Lincoln.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. I'll miss the old Reddit days.
Right. And equally ridiculous is the Democrat Party has now organized focus groups, Brian, to figure out why people hate Kamala Harris. I would have, you know, they're giving these people what, $5 and a coupon for a Big Mac? I would have done it for free.
Yeah. I think we could pretty much lay that out. I don't know that we need a focus group. I mean, what ages are we looking at here? What ages are we focusing on? Because that discussion we just had with Angela, I think that might explain a whole bunch of it right there. Kamala's, you know, just as culpable and involved as Joe Biden in that 94 crime bill and the way that it was applied in her district in California.
Joe's a racist. Everybody knows that he's the most racist. He was always the most racist senator once Senator Byrd passed away. And look, he's not a bright guy, right? Kamala's even worse because Kamala bragged in the same conversation about locking black men up for weed. And then a little later in the conversation, she bragged about smoking weed.
Yeah. I mean, You just can't make this stuff up. It's absolutely nuts, you know, and I'm thinking of it, you know, just sort of sitting here thinking about you know, the task at hand that Angela and her group are dealing with here. And there's so many things that could and should be fixed. And one of the, I think maybe the root problems is the fact that the prisons are privately owned and they're for-profit, privately owned and involved with lobbyists who are involved with legislation. So, you know, there's a bit of a self-licking ice cream cone Ponzi factor happening there that sort of is incentivized by poor recidivism.
And again, already foreseen in sci-fi movies, predictive programming.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. No,
now,
there's no doubt
my
about
brother,
it.
My brother has four gorgeous dogs. And these are ridiculously expensive dogs that he didn't have to pay a dime for because he's part of a program where the breeder is a reputable, you know, an ethical breeder. It's not a puppy mill. He wants the dogs to grow up in a regular home so that the dogs are well adjusted and the puppies are great. And so he gets these dogs and they go and they're bred for a few times and then they spay them and he gets to keep them, right? But Brian, these dogs go for like $15,000 to $25,000 based on when you get them. Are they weaned? Have they been trained, et cetera? Which I just think is an insane. I mean, my first five cars together didn't cost $15,000, okay? I'm dead serious. So $15,000 for a dog sounds nuts. And now you can spend half that amount of money and get a really cool dog.
Right? You can get a dog with a flamethrower attached to it. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. We've talked of, you know, speaking of predictive programming, we've talked about Black Mirror a bit. Metalhead is one of my favorite Black Mirror episodes, probably because it's one of the darkest, bleakest episodes. And oddly enough, the antagonist in it was an AI Boston Dynamics style dog that looks just like this one that the Telegraph is talking about here, where a U.S. company has built a flame-throwing robot dog capable of shooting jets of fire up to 30 feet that is available for purchase online. It's called the Therminator.
You can't make this stuff up. It's just beautiful. What could and Dominion assures us that it is not connected. This dog is not connected to the internet. I mean, what could possibly go wrong, Brian? Can you imagine a pack of these things? And if they'd been given the AI pack mentality that dogs exhibit?
Oh my gosh. Or if they're hackable, what if it could be hacked? I mean, I could see it now, you know. We set up our TNT compound on 10 acres and we buy 5 of these things to patrol the perimeter. But some Chinese hacker or CIA hacker comes in and they hack our Therminators, and next thing you know, they're aimed at their owners.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care. I still want one.
I still do too. Yeah, I'm going to harden mine up real good. I got a little IT skill, so I'd still like to have one, have it patrolling the house, you know, the outer perimeter of the house. That'd be great.
You know, we'll just use Hedy Lamarr's frequency hopping encodation system.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's a deal at $7,000. I'm wondering about the optional upgrades, though. I mean, I'd really like to get a Gatling gun on that sucker. Maybe the ability to pop smoke. I mean, we could really have some fun with this.
You really could. And Brian, no vet bills.
No vet bills whatsoever. That's
and
right.
No walking around like an idiot with a plastic baggie to pick up your dog's poop.
Yeah. His poop will be 40 millimeter rounds, probably.
Right. Just some brass that you can reuse. It's good for the environment, Brian. We're going to recycle.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to put a magnet on the lower end of mine so they can cruise around the range, the gun range, and pick up all my, steel casings. It's going to be fantastic. We could come up with so many uses for this, Timothy.
Oh, I think it's a new business model for us.
Yeah. I mean, we could customize these things. I wonder if it's built on a open source. That would be the other thing. Remember in the old days when you get the early iPhones and Androids, you could jailbreak them. If we could... Yep. Jailbreak our Therminator and reprogram it, I think I'd feel confident to own one.
Yeah, you know, if we put it on Linux, we could make it pretty secure.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, all right. It looks like our guest is joining us. Awesome. Well, hey, Patriots Fest is coming soon to Aurora, Illinois, and the Patriots Fest aims to do some harmonizing of the nation with music. And that festival is May the 18th of this year. And joining us now to talk about Patriots Fest is one of the performers, rapper, singer, songwriter, and independent artist whose music is infused with rustic instruments, hip hop fundamentals, and exceptional lyricism. Damon Jones, welcome to State of the Nation. How you doing?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you, sir.
Hey, we're very pleased to have you. Glad you're able to join us today. So you must be getting excited about the fest. Tell us a little bit about what it means to you.
Oh, to be included in something like that is patriotic. You know, I think my music, I don't come out with a lot of political statements or anything like that, but I do believe in the foundation of our country, the Constitution, and the importance of family and God and stuff like that. And I think that kind of... it's pretty understood if you listen to Damon Jones on a regular basis. I try to make sure that, you know, who I am as a person comes through in my lyrics. You know, I don't really try to hide it.
Yeah, well, I always appreciate that. You know, I like that when there's things that are, you know, somewhat open to interpretation, so I can, you know, take it on and interpret it my way. But at the same time, it's always nice to know, especially in this day and age, that the artists that you're following, you know, they actually have something in common with you other than just, you know, pure metaphor or pure emotion or something like that.
Correct. Well, you know, the creative process has a way of doing its own thing. But, you know, there are, you know, you kind of surrender to it in the creative process and let it happen. But I think who you really are as a person comes through You know, I try not to just be saying a bunch of words that sound cool together. I like my music to have a meaning and reflect some sort of purpose. I pray about it. You know, when I'm writing songs, I pray that there would be something of use to others more than just myself. And I think that by the response I received from my fans and people that have been following me these years, I think that we're doing that.
You absolutely are doing that. And I'll tell you, Demon, you are one of the most dangerous men in America, you and the others on this tour, because you're doing something that the powers that be simply cannot permit. And that is bringing us together apart from our policy preference differences. Every Correct. Single thing that brings us together outside politics, whether it's professional and collegiate sports, whether it's the arts, whether it's movies and music, they want us divided, and y'all are bringing people together, and that scares them, I think.
Yeah, you know, that's something that has motivated me to remain independent. I'm sure that I could have made a few more bucks going another route or been a little more popular, maybe more of a celebrity status. But being free to say what I want when I want and to be who I really am, I didn't really get into music to be a comic book character or anything like that. It was just always something embedded in me to do, you know, and I say what I'm compelled to say in my music. And sometimes I know where it comes from, but I don't really want to take credit for all of it because I really feel like it's a blessing to be a creative person. But when the business and the creative kind of run into each other, a lot of times the purity of it gets stripped away and it becomes just about business. And I do try to handle business properly, but it's more important to me to have a purpose. You know, I believe in God. I don't write a lot of songs that my mother wouldn't be proud of. And I don't write songs that my little girls can't listen to or something that would dishonor my wife or something like that. And by doing that, I'm writing songs that your kids can listen to and that won't dishonor your wife. And, you know, I grew up listening to a lot of the mainstream music that everyone else did that did kind of make it popular and normal to do those things, you know, talk about things that are negative and that are, I think, detrimental to society. And I just don't think you have to do that to create good music.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was on your website earlier. I was looking at, you know, some of the things you were listening to growing up. And it was a lot of the same stuff I listened to, you know, and it's really interesting to think that, you know, some of us Gen X and, you know, and boomer people for that matter, grew up listening to like NWA and Beastie Boys and, you know, Ozzy Osbourne. You mentioned Sabbath and Zeppelin. I mean, it's a really cool you know, and it's a background in music that I can really relate to. Like, how did you end up putting that all together? I mean, that's a pretty interesting mix of genres and influences that you work with.
You know, it really is an interesting journey. And, you know, maybe while I was in the middle of it, now, once I've got some miles under my belt and some years, it became more obvious to me what happened. And what it is I think as an artist, as for me, I can't speak for all artists, but what it seems to be is that we're all our own filter of what we see, hear, and experience, you know. And I've always appreciated other people that had, you know, different backgrounds from me, from different places, different countries, different ethnicities, whatever, different, you know, cultural backgrounds. Because of their stories, they were telling the story through the filter of their eyes and their life experience. And while being inspired by all of those things, Johnny Cash, NWA, Jimi Hendrix, Black Sabbath, when it came through me, my filter is in the middle of a hayfield, laying bricks with my dad in the summer, listening to rap music, surrounded by tractors and tools and so when I heard singers on TV as a kid, I didn't think, wow, I could do that. You know, I can sing like Elvis. I can dance like Michael Jackson. But when I heard Beastie Boys or when I heard NWA and LL Cool J tell stories, it something struck a chord in me. I was like, I felt like, okay, now that's something that I could do. And then it just took me some living and life experience to have something worth saying, you know? And I think that's what it is. It's pure experience and living and losing and loving and all that combined into one through the filter of a bricklayer's son from Jones County, Georgia.
You know, and amazing. I think that's what's been lost in music over the last 20 years is the storytelling aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. It's more about, you know, clicks and streams and playing the algorithm and stuff like that. And, you know,
the computerized hooks. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And studio tricks and stuff. And like we all use some of that stuff. But my stuff is more based in the actual ability to perform the songs that I create. I don't lip sync or do anything like that. I get on stage and, you know, almost injure myself to make sure that the crowd receives something that they otherwise could not.
Now you're talking our language. I like that. I definitely recognize and appreciate that in a performer. Thank you so much. DemonJones.com. That's DemonJones.com. PatriotsFest.com for tickets and to find out more at Demon Jones on X. Hey, thanks so much, Demon, for joining us. We'll look forward to having you back on again. I hope you can come join us again real soon.
Thank you, sir. God bless. And I'll see y'all at the Patriots Fest.
All right. God bless. We'll see you there. This is State of the Nation. Stay tuned.